My name is Jessie Ace. I'm part of a group of enabled warriors that you've probably never heard of. We're fighting back against our invisible illness and taking the dis out of disability. We don't give sympathy to our symptoms. They enable us to be the warrior that we are. If you ask doctors and nurses, they'd say what we're doing is impossible. But pushing the limits of our conditions is something that we have to break through every single day. We push the limits. We are mentally strong. We can do anything. The question is, how far can we push those limits? This podcast will give you the answers. I'm Jessie Ace, and this is the Disabled to Enabled podcast. Okay, let's get to the first part of our interview with today's guest. So this section focuses on the actual diagnosis, what their illness is, and how it affects our guest. Keep listening out for part two to find out how they coped and thrived afterward. And then in part three, listen out for today's guest's answers in the super quick secrets round. Or should we say not so super quick secrets round? Enabled Warriors, our next guest is 20 years ago, couldn't walk or see unassisted, and today she's thriving and helping thousands of people with MS learn to thrive too. Her award-winning blog shares tips and tricks that she's picked up as a certified life coach, motivational speaker, health journalist, and MS advocate. Years of studying alternative and holistic nutrition and lifestyle skills have given this girl with MS a chance at life again. Enabled Warriors, please help me in welcoming the amazing Caroline Craven, everybody! Woo! Hey, Caroline.
Hi. Hi. Thank you so much. It's so great to be here, Jess.
It is great to have you here. I'm so, so glad. Let's get into the first part of our interview by chatting about your initial diagnosis. Like, how did you first know that something wasn't quite right?
It was interesting. I was traveling through Guatemala back in 2001. I was about 32, and I was traveling with a bunch of friends, just, you know, backpacks, like all over the country exploring. And during that trip, I started losing my ability to eat. I started losing my ability to walk and see. I just woke up feeling drunk, just like I'd had way too much to drink at 8 a.m. and it just would never shake off. And each day just kind of got worse and worse. We thought maybe it was an inner ear infection, you know, at the time, but I didn't feel sick. So, but finally I made it back home to Los Angeles, and I got into, luckily I got into a really good neurologist, got into my primary care who referred me, you know, and sometimes you just don't know who you're going to get. And luckily she was just wonderful. She really encouraged kind of a natural approach, but also making sure that everything was tested and putting me on a DMT right away. She was very thorough. That created a lot of confidence in me. You know, she really made me feel like I could handle this disease, even though I had no idea what was going on. And yeah, it was a very interesting time. It hit so hard and fast.
I can imagine that would be so scary to be in another country and this happened with your friends all around you as well. Like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was really interesting. And some of my friends went off to go see some other parts of the country. Mm-hmm. But we had met so many people. At one point, I needed help going into town. Sorry. And one of the guys came by and walked in and just asked how I was doing. And he led me from the boardwalk. We were down in these little huts by the beach, and I didn't want to fall in. And he literally just led me into town to get a liquado, which kind of like a smoothie. It was about the only thing I could keep down. It just, for some reason, I had a lot of nervous gag reflex kind of stuff going on.
Mm. Oh,
and the people in Guatemala were so nice. Everyone was just so kind and sweet that I felt a lot of support, even though I was scared, for sure.
Well, that's really good. It's good that they were there for you, definitely. Yeah. Can you teach us a little bit more about what MS is?
Yes. MS, multiple sclerosis, is basically considered an autoimmune disease, although they're finding a lot more about it. They're finding a lot more genetic factors that can fall into helping, say, cause or bring on MS. They're finding a lot of environmental factors that can affect MS, and I know that's come up a lot, but people with low vitamin D or low sunshine tend to have more chance of getting it. People who smoke tobacco, people who maybe not watch their health and might be obese or have other comorbidities. Mm-hmm. So they may be more susceptible. But basically, it's where your body attacks itself, and it attacks the myelin sheath around the nerve endings. And by doing that, the nerves can't communicate well. So we get a lot of little misfires. Mm-hmm. You know, we might think there's a big earthquake going on in our right leg. It's trembling so much, but nobody else can see it. And there's nothing causing it except the nerves just aren't matching right, you know.
Yes.
Or we get the cog fog as we talk, and it's just our brain, yeah, misfires.
Mm, it's interesting, isn't it? I usually like to say it's, if I'm explaining it to someone who doesn't quite know what MS is, I like to say it's kind of like when your phone charger is frayed a little bit and like the plastic comes off, and then you kind of nerves are kind of, the wires are kind of like your nerves that kind of stick out and then doesn't transmit the message from the plug to the phone.
Yes, exactly. That's my Wi-Fi is broken. Wait, I can't. Yeah, so causes we'll get into a lot of different problems, but it won't necessarily take your life. MS hits everybody differently, and I think that that's really important to know that. You know, some people get it more mildly. I had a very aggressive form that tended to mild out, almost mellow out after a number of years and learning how to manage it better. But it's so random, because wherever those scars hit can affect different parts of your body, so a lot of it is random.
Definitely, and that's why we all get different symptoms as well, which is, it took me a long time to really realize that, because my doctor in hospital said go home, Google it and find out for what it is for yourself. So I was just like, oh well, it must be like a cold and like everybody gets the same things. And I was reading online about people waking up blind and things like that. I was like, oh my god, you are kidding me. So yeah,
I definitely had vision problems in the beginning. Yeah. That, and yeah, every day can just be a roll of the dice, basically.
So how does your MS kind of affect you day to day?
My MS, especially in the beginning, really affected my fatigue, my cognitive thinking. I was very heat sensitive in the morning, or any time during the day, especially when summer would come. I think I've gotten better with that. I get a lot of still numbness and tingling and pain, kind of that nerve pain or just all over pain where your body just feels like it's just kind of crimping up. I get a lot of tremors. Yeah, you know that one. It's, the muscle spasticity, probably almost everything, the vision problems, the urinary problems. Some of the things I've actually never experienced, I think, is the MS hug, which a lot of people get. But most of mine now are just the fatigue, the cognitive thinking, and the pain, and just managing those.
Yeah. And it sounds like you're managing it really well. And are you kind of like on any treatments right now? We spoke briefly about DMT, which is in case people don't know, it's a disease-modifying treatment. Are you on anything right now?
I'm actually not. My last modifying therapy was taken back in 2001, right after I was diagnosed. But then I got into a 3-year double blind study at the University of Southern California here in USC for an actual MS vaccine. And by doing that, I had to go off the DMT. And that was when I didn't know what I was on since it was double blind. So I just thought, well, I better do everything I can to learn how to take care of myself, because I was on my own. And I ended up coming out really well after the study. Not everyone did. They actually closed the study a little early, but they asked if we wanted to stay on so they could learn more. But that was really where I kind of took off into the holistic nutrition and the different medicines. I do use medical marijuana. That was something that started when I couldn't eat and I lost, you know, a good 40 pounds or 3 stones or something. It was a lot of weight, became emaciated. And I started using it for that to help. And then we found that it was helping with a lot of the other symptoms. So it helped with fatigue. If I took the right kind, it could help with other things. So most of the prescription pills that doctors tried to give me never worked well for me. I don't know. I just, the fatigue or the urinary, different, the spasms, different things for pain. I had a lot of side effects and they really affected my cognitive thinking. So we found that that helped a lot. And then I've been taking, there's a couple supplements that I take that I think really have helped me, at least. I know everyone's different, but for me, some supplements, just some high dose biotin and some Protandim, it's called. It's an antioxidant, you know, things to help inflammation and oxidative stress. Those are two of my big things. And then, of course, the life skills, which is not a therapy, but it is a therapy. It's just a different one.
Yeah. Interesting. Interesting that you say about marijuana as well and your use for that, because like we hear so much about this and the fact that it's becoming illegal in certain places but not others and things like that. So it's really interesting to hear that it's really helped you. How did you kind of first discover that?
Well, that was a friend suggested. I mean, I had used it recreationally when I was younger, so it wasn't something totally new to me, but hadn't done it in years, and my friend recommended I try it when I couldn't eat to help with the appetite and all that. And it so then we just started kind of moving on with it. It was more difficult because back then it was legal, I think, medically, you know, even before probably it was legal medically, because that hasn't been that long. And it's difficult. I mean, it's interesting because it can take away the symptoms so much that it can be a difference of sitting in bed all day or going out and living life. Wow. And it actually helps my cog fog. I can sit down and write, you know, you just have to know what kind to use and you have to get help. There's a lot of different kinds, and the CBD is such a natural anti-inflammatory that it's, you know, it's great to help that inflammation. And I definitely have, I would say, an inflamed type of MS. It increases when I get inflamed.
Interesting. I didn't know there were so many different types. That's interesting.
Yeah, what I've understood is that some MS is more affected by inflammation, where some is more affected by nerve damage. Mine is definitely, if I have too much salt the night before, if I mismanage, you know, have that extra glass of wine, or, you know, I don't do caffeine anymore. I have enough shakes as it is, so I kind of stay away from that. But if I just don't take care of myself, I can feel it coming on. And then there's a lot of other things like Ayurvedic teas and things that can help cool the body and cool your internal fire, say, depending on what they call your dosha. You know, there's all different sorts of interesting things. Even foods have cooling energies and warming energies. So some sushi like unagi, the eel, is very cooling on the body. And sometimes you'll see shortages of unagi during heat waves in Japan.
Because
they've known that for thousands of years. Clams are very cooling. Shrimp might be more neutral or warming. So you can kind of get into all these little details and you really start looking at food as medicine, and that becomes a therapy.
That's fascinating. And it's something that we've talked about quite a lot on the podcast and things, with people sort of managing their conditions purely through food. Mm-hmm. It's just astounding what happens. Gosh, let's just take a short break to thank our sponsors. Enabled Warriors, do you want to win a copy of the Enabled Warrior Symptom Tracker book for free? The Symptom Tracker book will allow you to track your symptoms, instantly spot triggers, and get the best care possible from your doctors. Dr. Gretchen Hawley from the MSing Link said it was brilliant for those with chronic illnesses to give their doctors more accurate information. Recording these nuggets of information can be a game changer in receiving the best care for you and your symptoms. Inside the book, you'll find everything that you need to live your best life with chronic illness. Have you ever sat in an appointment and couldn't recall when your symptoms started, how long they lasted, the date of your first relapse, how long you've been on medication? Oh, me too. It's so annoying. That's why I made these pages in the book to help with this. Do you want to find out what foods are triggering your symptoms? Great. That's in the book too. Do you wish that you could wake up feeling positive and energetic every single day? The daily sheets in this book will help you do just that. Enter the giveaway by going to www.mybookgiveaway.com and enter your details through the message on Facebook Messenger that will pop up. If you are impatient and you want one now, then go get your Enabled Warrior Tracker book from www.enabledwarriors.org/book. Both of the links are in the show notes, so go and click them there. And get in control of your chronic illness today and start living the life you deserve. Stay Enabled Warriors. Now let's get back to our guest. So moving on, so what do you think then were your biggest challenges after your diagnosis that you needed to overcome?
You know, my first biggest challenge was, I mean, really was trying to figure out who I was and how to redefine myself. I had been an active athlete, outdoor athlete. I was a whitewater kayaker, cowgirl, river guide, wow, rock climber, mountain biker, backcountry skier. If it was there, I could do it. And I also worked a lot. My life was my career. I worked for a lot of startup companies, marketing executive, chief operating officer, you know, those kind of managing director. I just thrived on that, a lot of community work. And all of a sudden here I was feeling like almost like an 8-year-old girl with, no memory. I'd completely lost my short-term memory in the beginning. I forgot about that. Yeah, one time I fed my dog about 4 times.
Oh, no.
20 minutes before my family finally just said, you know, I think you've done that enough. It was pretty funny. But that was a big challenge. So trying to accept what had happened to me and then trying to find what is my purpose in life and how do I move on?
You know,
and that definitely is a very big challenge.
And I think you learn to kind of adapt certain things like that as well, don't you? I mean, like, I know when we were talking earlier, you said you can still ride horses.
I can still ride horses, which is nice. I had a few in training a number of years ago, and haven't been riding too much lately, but that's just a matter of finding one around. I'm still able to fly fish and fish, which I love. And we fly fish the Los Angeles River down here, so which is really funny because it's, you know, you can catch a big carp or you can catch a shopping cart or who knows what. But we have some other pretty rivers. It takes away a lot of your, what feels like your freedom, you know, or your ability to plan. Some of the challenges, like trying to plan and then your body, you know, let's make plans with friends and then your body fails you that morning and you kind of start to feel like a flake because you're always having to change your plans. Or I'm not able to drive much anymore, so I can't just hop in the car and go out to the beach or go up to the mountains. I'm always reliant on somebody to help me, and that's been a big challenge too, is learning to ask for help.
Definitely. And is that one of the things that you would wish someone had kind of told you about when you were newly diagnosed?
You know what, it is. I had some really good advice in the beginning, just people I knew who had had it. But I think it took me a while to learn that. I'm stubborn type A personality. I want to do it all myself. And I don't know the best way to say it, but you know, it is, it's okay to ask for help. It's okay to be kind and compassionate to your body. Don't expect the body and life you had before, but know you can find intense quality of life. It's just going to be different.
Definitely. It gives you more appreciation of life as well and what your body really can do in that moment.
Yes, it does. Absolutely.
Yeah. And sometimes you just need someone to go, do you know what? It's going to be okay.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's the simplest things, and it's like, you're going to be okay.
It is. That was the first lady I talked to. It was like, it's going to be okay. Just pour yourself a glass of red wine. It was evening time. It was really cute. You know, it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The simplest things sometimes. That is the way. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. Let's head into part 2, Warriors, where Caroline is going to tell us about the amazing blog that she has made. Oh my goodness. See you in a bit. Warriors listening, if you've enjoyed this episode and you want to win $100, leave a review on Apple Podcasts and tell us what you liked best. We'll choose one review at random each month to win $100. And after you've left your review, remember, go and click that subscribe button. Are you ready to fight back against your chronic illness and go from being disabled to enabled? Do you want to be an enabled warrior? Someone who's brave, strong, and confident, and someone who's ready to find a way to achieve awesome things despite a diagnosis? This is your invitation. Check out disabledtoenabled.com for articles and reviews to find out how you can become enabled too. Subscribe to the podcast to always be in the know. If you think this podcast is better than sleeping in on a Sunday, tickle that subscribe or follow button wherever you're listening. And make sure to share this episode with someone who needs some inspiration. Want to ask your questions to future guests? Make sure to join our Enabled Warriors tribe on Facebook and look out for our question posts. Before we go, check out Disabled to Enabled on Instagram for posts that tell it like it is. And remember, warriors, stay enabled.